testimony, the live stream.
It's your primary.
It is 6:30 Mountain Time, which means 8:30 Eastern Time. The polls just closed on the East Coast. And we're going to talk about the primary results of New Hampshire. Unfortunately, not very suspenseful. We had hoped that we would be bringing you live updates throughout the night and talking about, you know, what's happening and how it's unwinding. But they pretty much called it right away. So if you're just tuning in to us to find the results, Rachel, would you do the honors?
So MSNBC is suggesting, or what do you call it?
Projecting.
Projecting.
They're projecting onto others their insecurities and their anger.
Yes. Trump is the winner on the Republican side, and Bernie Sanders is the winner on the Democratic side, which is exactly what we thought that the polls predicted would happen.
Yeah, the polls actually got it right. What's going to be interesting to watch here is a couple things. How big is the margin going to be between Bernie and Hillary? And the race for second, third, and fourth, because there's still so many people running on the Republican side that if you finish second or third, it's still worth a victory lap, apparently.
Yes.
So
particularly because New Hampshire's really weird. And right now, John Kasich is in second place. And Jeb Bush is in third place, which is crazy. And Marco Rubio is in fourth place. So if Marco Rubio doesn't sort of get that together and get something better than fourth, that could be really bad for the rest of his campaign.
Yeah, a little housekeeping. You may notice if you're watching and you watched last time that the picture is much more crisp and clear. We got a new webcam.
We did.
So there's that. Hopefully there's enough light. I think we got enough light going on.
I hope so.
We're watching, of course, MSNBC for the unfolding returns and results. And while I'm checking to see that the stream is actually working online real quick, Rachel is going to explain how the primary works and how it's different from a caucus, which is what we saw last week in Iowa. So
yeah, so
I'll be right back.
Basically, the reason that we know right now at 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time who the winner is because people in New Hampshire have been voting since this morning, and in some cases in three different counties in New Hampshire since midnight last night. So they've had a lot more opportunity to get exit polls and to get information, whereas in Iowa, if you remember, it started at a really specific time and then lasted for a really specific time. In New Hampshire, it's like when you go vote for a general. You go in at any time on that Tuesday, you vote, and then you're done. And so by the time the polls close, they pretty much know based on exit polling and also based on just the early results what the results are going to be. So that's why that's there. A primary in New Hampshire, they have an open primary, which means you don't have to be registered to either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party to participate in the primary. Now, you do have to be an independent to vote in Republican or Democrat. So if you're a Democratic voter registered as a Democrat, you have to vote in the Democratic primaries. You can't vote in the Republican primaries. If you're a Republican, you can't vote in the Democratic primaries. But if you're registered either as an independent or if you're unaffiliated, you can choose whether you'd rather vote Republican or Democrat. In Colorado, where we are, it's closed. So you have to be registered for the party that you want to participate in the caucuses or the primaries for. Most states are closed. So New Hampshire's a little bit unusual that way, but there are several that are open. So that's kind of how that works. There was some early reporting that Hillary Clinton lost the women's vote. Right now, with early reporting, it's 54-46, is that
something,
what they said?
Something like that, or
so
maybe 53-47, but it looks like she may have overall lost the women vote, and they were thinking just the young women, but it's usually the older ones actually show up and vote, so this could be a bad sign. Now, before we get carried away, New Hampshire is their own thing.
Yeah, they're really weird.
They're a little bit like Iowa in that they don't necessarily portend what's going to happen with the rest of everything else. Like, back in 92 on the Republican side, you had Pat Buchanan winning the New Hampshire primary over sitting President George H.W. Bush, which was weird.
Yeah.
Of course, he obviously didn't go on to win, and he had a crazy, megamaniacal, racist, speech at the RNC, which set them back a good 8 years, and maybe somebody will do something like that again.
He's hoping.
But, what we're really watching is, A, how big is the
Sanders win
going to be? If it's any more than 10 to 15 points, that gives him a lot of momentum. If Hillary can claw it back and get within 10, then that'll help her a little bit. Here's why I'm worried. That's probably not going to happen. They called this really early. They called this just on, like, exit poll and the first few returns. And
it was,
they said,
like, 4% in. And we were like, what are you doing calling it right now? And we figured they must have had.
And there were still people waiting really in line, polls, even though the precincts were closing. And I thought they weren't supposed to do that. And I wish they wouldn't. But I guess
if
other networks do it, they have to do it. So they called it real fast. And they called it really fast on the other side, too.
Yeah.
So Trump's going to win by a shit ton.
Yep.
Sanders is going to win by a shit ton. The question is how much. And
yes.
here's an interesting dichotomy for you. No matter what happens here on the Democratic side, if you finish second, you lost.
Yes.
If you're a Republican and you finish second, you're doing a victory lap.
Yeah, because
it's like a win.
It's just Donald Trump. I'm the second to Donald Trump, particularly if – well, really, if you're any of them, right? If you're Rubio, then it's like, see, I'm consistent. We don't think it's going to be Rubio. Looking at the polls – it's going to be Kasich or Bush that takes second place, which is really interesting. And then it's Cruz, and then it's Rubio. And now I don't even have that. Now Rubio's in fifth. So we'll see.
With 12% in. And, you know, New Hampshire could be one of those weird places where we're – but New Hampshire maybe isn't. New Hampshire, I think, and I don't remember that well the last primaries watching in New Hampshire and the results come in. I don't think it's so much like Iowa. It's like, okay, well, this – batch of precincts is going to come in from the college area,
right.
Whereas this batch is more, it's like more kind of uniform-ish, maybe.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if these results where they are now are going to vary. I could be totally wrong about that. I'm just going on like my scant memory from 8 years ago, because there wasn't much of a primary fight on the Democratic side 4 years ago. Romney won it easily, I think, the New Hampshire primary.
Yeah, but Hillary upset Obama.
Well, yeah,
in 2000.
This is what I was going to say, and now it's almost a waste of breath. What I was going to say is the poll showed Sanders with a 15-16 point lead going into tonight, and Hillary camp must have at least had some hope, because like I said, back in 08, the polls were showing Obama winning by 6 to 8 points, and she wound up winning by 6 to 8 points. So she's like, well,
that's
so they
an
must
upset
have been
of like, you know, 16 points.
Yeah, so they must have been thinking, like, if we could make up close to 16 points 8 years ago, maybe we could do it again. But it doesn't look like that happened this time.
No, I think the really interesting thing for me is that Donald Trump got 34% of the vote, and directly under him are Kasich and Bush, which are two establishment candidates. The combination of their two totals is more than Trump. So New Hampshire is not really for Trump, in as much as they can't decide who else they're for.
Well, they can't coalesce around one other candidate.
They can't agree.
So if you say, let me give you for instance, right now Bush, Cruz, and Rubio are polling at a combined 34%, which is Kasich, I'm sorry. Throwing in Kasich, then it goes to 50.
Yeah.
50%.
Yeah.
That's four establishment candidates running at 50% combined, where Trump only has 34.
Cruz is hard to say he's establishment necessarily.
No, he's not.
But,
he's not.
But, you know, he's not Trump.
Well, I'm not even counting Cruz in that.
Oh, I thought he was.
Was I?
In there. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, Kasich, Bush, and Rubio,
are running at.
At about this. A little more than
Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that was a mistake to include Cruz in there.
But,
so that goes to show, as long as these jokers stay in, then Trump's got a real path to the nomination, potentially.
Yeah. If it's really only one or two of them, then whatever that one or two come out to be, they beat Trump.
Well, let's pretend for a hot second that this holds up and go down the line. One, Trump is going to... he's going to do a victory lap of some kind. It'll either be fake magnanimous, or he'll rub everybody's face in the dirt.
Yeah.
But either
looks like
way,
he's getting ready to do that. Yeah, coming up here pretty quick.
Yeah. Either way, he's going to declare himself king of the world for winning New Hampshire.
Yeah.
If Kasich comes in second, that's really meaningless because
he doesn't have broad support in the rest of the country. New Hampshire's weird.
Yeah.
It matters.
And he doesn't
Bush
have a ton of money either.
Tremendously, because Bush has
a ton
of money.
I'm going to get to that. So Kasich coming in second is nice for him. Something to talk about for a few days.
Yeah.
Meaningless. He's not going to win South Carolina. He's not going to win
anywhere else.
Nevada, probably. He's, you know, so what?
Yeah.
Now, this is really interesting. Bush coming in third, because this was Bush's last stand.
Yes.
And he expected to do better here.
Yeah.
So if Bush is able to hold on to third with 10 to 12%, is that enough fodder for him to say, hey, I'm still in this?
Mm-hmm.
Does he go back to his donors and say, hey, I'm not dead yet. I'm still breathing.
Look at these results like we were just talking about. Trump's not
going to win. Look, I could beat Golden Boy Rubio. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how to debate. So Bush may hang around a little longer.
And he made some really interesting gaffes.
He no longer scares me whatsoever as a candidate.
No. But just for his own political future, I think it's interesting. Yeah, Rubio is straight up fifth right now, which is really interesting.
Yeah, and I 10%. Didn't, you know, us and everybody else in the world went ad nauseum on the whole Rubio robot, you know, broken record thing the other night. And
he's
thought,
made some weird things this week in New Hampshire. Like,
we'll get to that in a second, but that's kind of kicked it off, right? So I was thinking like, oh, this is bad, but is it going to matter to New Hampshire voters? Well, that seemed to matter. And then what else did you notice with Rubio?
So he had a run-in with a gay man in a diner in New Hampshire, in Manchester this week, yesterday or today, one of the two. And it was adorable. It was this big old bear with his mom and his husband. And
another bear, right?
I don't know. I didn't see the husband.
No, I didn't see him.
Maybe he was a cub. But anyway.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah. The little twinks that date bears. Yeah, they're called cubs.
I don't know. I'm not.
And there's
I should know. I have a lot
skinny,
of
strong,
I lot of gay male friends, but yeah. I'm not up on the verbiage.
Yeah. So anyway, he confronted Rubio in this diner and said, you know, why don't you support us? Why do you want to make us, you know, less than citizens? Blah, blah, blah. And Rubio is an idiot and roboted it and said... I just believe marriage is between one man and one woman. And he's like, but I've been married for a long time, and like you're trying to put me as a second-class citizen, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because it passed in 2009 in New Hampshire, it became legal.
Hold on. He goes, well, if you want to change it, you should have the legislature change it. And then walked away. Well, the legislature in New Hampshire did, in fact, change it. They passed in the legislature same-sex marriage in 2009. So Rubio literally has no idea what he's talking about. And even though this state did pass that, he's still not saying, well, then in your case, I'm really happy for you guys. You did it the right way. Like, way to go. He's just on this Robotron thing of like,
yeah,
one man, one woman, legislature, judicial activism.
Is that even
it's
a mistake?
It's just like, blah, blah, blah.
Because as far as Republican logic goes, that makes sense, even though it's completely untrue. Like in Republican logic world, Rubio is saying if, you know, gay marriage is illegal and like they think abortion is illegal
and
they think that Planned Parenthood
is
selling
activism that's unconstitutional
baby
that's
parts,
allowing
right.
It to
it's
be
not
legal.
Reality.
It's
so.
Not actually legal because it's unconstitutional that the court makes these decisions or whatever nonsense garbage comes out of their mouths.
Yeah. So in a way that's kind of typical party line, but it did look bad because
it went viral. Yeah, it was not good for him.
Yeah, and Rubio is just showing his weaknesses as a neophyte. I mean, some people have the gift for it. I mean, Obama was a neophyte too, but he had game, and Rubio's learning, and he might be a really, really dangerous good politician one day, but he's in over his head right now.
Yes.
I think that's really coming to the forefront.
He's doing this Palin thing where he's just memorizing things to say, but he doesn't really understand the context in which to use them or when it's maybe not a good idea and I should kind of be on my feet a little bit. And so he's just blah, and then everyone's like,
yeah, and anything off the cuff
inappropriate.
Is a nightmare.
That's not a right time to use that kind of thing. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know. You know, it's hard to know if that affected people or if it was the debate or if he was just always going to do bad in New Hampshire because I just don't like him. I don't know. But some interesting stuff coming out of that. Looks like Ben Carson is squarely in last place. Carly Fiorina is in second to last.
Oh, Ben. He wanted to get his revenge on Cruz, but New Hampshire's not the place to do it. I won't talk too much about Carson, only to say... I don't know if he's had to fire a bunch of staff. He's kind of running low on campaign money. I don't know if he wants to self-finance for too much longer, but he's a strange dude and God only knows what motivates him.
Yep.
And the whole not coming out when called in the debate thing was really awkward and weird.
It's
and
so funny.
probably didn't help him. But Trump is running away with it now. If this holds up, he's going to have like a 20-point win and boy, are we not going to hear the end of that.
I mean, exactly. It's going to totally bolster him, and he's going to...
So, if this holds up, what does Fox do now? Because, you know, Trump's got leads already in South Carolina. I think he's leading in Nevada.
I mean, and Fox has basically just declared Rubio to be the winner of the primary, or the, you know, the nomination after Iowa, because they want it so bad. They want it not to be Trump so bad that they've been really talking like, wow, Rubio this, Rubio
well,
that.
Well, yeah, here's my question. I mean, they've declared war on each other. That's kind of, I guess, quieted in the last few days. So does Fox circle the wagons and say, we're going to roll with this guy now? Or...
Trump?
Or do they dig in and try to undo him and
is
make backdoor deals
with
Wentz Priebus?
He's not going to get – I mean, I guess there's probably – how many black Republican voters are there in South Carolina realistically?
None.
So maybe that doesn't matter.
No, that doesn't matter. No, they're all – And that's the, that we'll get to Hillary in a second, but you know, they, she better hope and pray they stick with her, and they're going right for that as soon as this is done.
Yeah.
Bernie too. But yeah, what's Fox going to do now? Are they going to dig in and just try to derail Trump and make it like super mega ugly and start smearing him and bringing up the shit that nobody wants to talk about, like the alleged rape stuff and yeah. all of his gross sexist comments, like more than just Megyn Kelly on the debate stage.
Right.
Like, their anchors and stuff haven't really touched that.
No.
As far as I mean, I don't watch Fox News constantly, but you know, I sort of keep
the pulse
of it.
They definitely haven't addressed it, I would know.
Yeah.
no, I don't know. I don't see them supporting Trump. I don't see them switching over and saying,
I think they have their fingers crossed that he would either come in second or come in a week close first with Rubio strong second. And it does not look like that's happening tonight. So now what? Do they try to jump back on the Jeb Bush bandwagon?
Yeah, they can't go with Kasich because he has no legs.
Are they just going to give up on Rubio after one bad primary?
I don't know. What are the polls doing in South Carolina?
It's Trump way out ahead with Cruz second.
Cruz second.
Yeah. Ted Cruz isn't going away just because he's not doing well here.
I mean,
Cruz has got organization and money and
him
a lot
and Bush
of evangelical
are basically
backing.
Tied at this point.
Yeah. So
I don't know. It's nuts.
And Christie's 8%, is that enough for him to stay in? I don't know. Maybe. Fiorina's done. This is probably her swan song. I think
well,
she closes up shop after tonight.
I think it's interesting, you know, looking at the last debate that we watched, that she got more delegates because she got a delegate than Chris Christie, and he was allowed on the debate stage and she wasn't.
What?
And right now, she just beat Ben Carson, and he was on the debate stage, and she wasn't.
I've given up on trying to figure out. Did they go with, like, national polls, though?
They went with top, you scored the top three in Iowa, or top six in one of three different national polls.
Okay.
And then they ended up with seven, but not her, and she was the only one left out.
Well, that's lame. Why didn't they just put her on?
Put her in. I don't know. And she won a delegate. Chris Christie did not. So I don't know.
Chris Christie certainly put on a better show.
Yeah, well, we don't know. She wasn't there. Just saying.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Couldn't have one lady.
Meanwhile, it looks like Bernie's going to win big, anywhere from 20 points or so.
Yeah.
And then this is going to give him momentum. And now do the solid, huge majority of black voters in places like South Carolina and North Carolina and Georgia and these other primaries that are coming up, are they going to stick with Hillary? Are they going to jump ship for Bernie? Because remember, a lot of the problem wasn't that these African Americans didn't like Bernie, they didn't know him.
Didn't know him.
They know Hillary Clinton. They don't know this guy.
Yeah.
And now they're going to start knowing him a little better.
Yep.
And because,
and his message, you know, when he did that interview with Killer Mike, his message, according to Killer Mike, was really the economic message that the black community, it would help them tremendously.
Well, let's not group all African Americans together. Older African Americans don't know from Killer Mike, a lot of them.
Sure. But if we're trying to get the vote of people who don't often vote.
Sure, right.
So sort of.
But younger African Americans don't show up and vote either.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's who he's after.
Right.
Right? He's after the young, urban, less economic opportunity, less educational equality.
And there have been movements like that before, like Puff Daddy had the vote or die thing in 2004, and it didn't work.
Yeah. He's not really a community leader, though, the way that Killer Mike is. You know what I mean? He's been an activist since he was, like, 12 years old
in
Atlanta.
Right.
P. Diddy's whatever he is.
Well, guess who Sanders is meeting with tomorrow?
Who?
Al Sharpton.
Interesting.
So he's going after that. And then Hillary is meeting with some, you know, some folks in the African-American community, their leaders, and it's going to be a fight for the soul of the African-American community. Now, this is what I worry about, guys, and you Bernieites out there, listen to me very closely. If this becomes a thing where this is still and look, national polls still have Hillary ahead. Hillary is still, as of right now, the polls still look good for her in these southern states that are coming up. And if that holds, if she holds her African-American support, don't get ugly, Bernie people.
Yep.
Don't get ugly with it. Don't get racial and ugly. And it's
in the same vein that you've been getting ugly and sexist recently.
Yeah. It's kind of gross that I have to mention that. and say that, but I kind of do.
Yep. Some of the language that's being used about female Hillary supporters by some Bernie supporters, like a specific section of them, has been pretty gross and pretty ugly. And Bernie Sanders has come out and said, like, those are not my people. Don't vote for me. If you're going to talk to women that way, don't vote for me.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to go there with the black community.
No. God, no.
Please.
And not just to be cynically political, because it's disgusting and wrong. And if you're a Bernie Sanders supporter, if you're really a Bernie Sanders, unless Bernie's attracting a bunch of fedora-wearing libertarians in drag or whatever, this shouldn't be part of your dialogue
anyway.
Progressive
means equality and equality of access and opportunity for women. I mean, progressive ideals are very, very, very strongly in support of minority groups and people that are disenfranchised and marginalized in society. It's not a movement for a bunch of cis, straight, middle-class white dudes to sit around and jerk each other off about how great Bernie Sanders is. Like, it's not. It's about progressive ideals.
Why don't you say how you really feel, Rachel?
Just saying.
Why don't you just cut through the treacle and, like, give us some straight talk about this, okay?
Yeah. Well, Bernie would agree with me if you were here.
I don't know if he'd use that terminology.
Maybe not, but he would not disagree. He wouldn't say I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Just saying. So
you keep talking. I'm going to check on the stream.
Okay. All right. So how do we feel, you guys? Give us some comments. Send us some feedback. If you have questions, let us know for sure. looks like there's 15% of the delegates in New Hampshire right now, and it's the same. The really funny thing is people are still voting for Santorum and Huckabee, even though they've already dropped out. So 34 people voted for Santorum, even though he is no longer running. I guess he's still on the ballot because he just dropped out after Iowa. And something like 56 people voted for Huckabee. So those votes, I guess, don't do anything. I guess they just go away. Bernie's ahead right now 18 points, about 8,000 votes out of about 50,000, so he's definitely going to have a strong lead. And Trump is still sitting pretty at 34%. Again, I think that's the interesting thing about Trump. I don't think, even if Trump wins the nomination, let's just imagine a world in which Trump wins the nomination. He's only garnering 35% of the support of not just Republicans, but Republican primary voters. So even when he does really well, he has just a little over a third of the most right-wing members of the Republican Party. So let's say half of Republican voters vote in the primaries. Only a third of those like Trump. So if he wins the nomination, I don't see how he's getting more than a third of a half of the votes. I mean, I don't know, maybe he'll get a few more Republican voters who don't vote in the primaries, but there's no way he gets 51% of the general population. It's not going to happen. So I think that's something that Republicans that don't support him know, and that scares the shit out of them, which is why Fox News is so rabidly wanting to get rid of him. Also, I think Fox News, they just have the feud going, and they're all man babies, so, nobody wants to give up. But I think that's an interesting thing to think about, is even if he wins the nomination, Then what? You know, then people who are not following politics right now, people who are not primary voters, are going to go, okay, my choice is Sanders or Clinton, right? Or Trump. And they're in a debate, and he says awful, vile, disgusting things about, you know, Mexicans, Muslims, black people, and women. And there goes the vote. I mean, God, we would love it if Trump won. I would love nothing more than to have Trump be the nominee on the Republican side. It's a landslide victory for Democrats. But I don't know. I don't see it. I don't know. all right, so...
Well, I can tell you who's not tuned in.
Who's that?
Our army friends.
Or do they even know we're doing this?
They should. So. They do now.
Okay, good.
If nothing else.
That's good. We got 21% in on the Democratic side, and I think that's probably enough. I mean, they knew before. They knew at like 4% who was going to win, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we said, we called this really early. So, once again, if you're just tuning in now, Donald Trump's been declared the winner on the Republican side of the New Hampshire primary.
35% of the vote so far.
And Bernie Sanders has been declared the winner on the Democratic side, and he's holding close to 60%, right?
Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah, and they're just trickling in on the Republican side. Yeah. But like we said, it's not polls positions aren't moving really at all. They look like they're kind of locked
second
in.
Place is kind of flipping back and forth between
Bush and Kasich.
Kasich and Cruz now.
Oh,
Cruz popped in from third place to
Cruz control
fourth to third. Yeah, so
that's my dream scenario. Let's have those two duke it out.
Trump and Cruz
for the most unelectable in Republican history.
Yeah. I'm in.
Go. Because Cruz is going to do well also in South Carolina and North Carolina and Georgia and Mississippi and
yep.
All those wonderful places.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm just waiting for Larry David to pop out any second.
Neither one has given an acceptance speech yet. It's, I think, still kind of early. Yeah, this is going to be Bernie supporters here. They're all having a rally. They look like they're about 17, every one of them. Bunch of white college kids.
That's what we need. We need them to show up and be excited and stay excited. And if he's building a coalition like the Obama coalition, then this is going to be a train that's hard to stop. And I think that on the other side, there's just like, he's a socialist.
He's not going to win. It's Bernie Sanders.
No, it's like even in the last debate, they've only started throwing in like Bernie, or it might be Bernie, in terms of like who they're attacking. They're just, it's Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. And
yeah, he was only mentioned, he's first mentioned really this last debate, and it was like 2-3 times.
Yeah.
And they just sort of go, that means a socialist.
Well, I think, I think also their conventional wisdom is telling them that they would prefer Bernie and they think they can win, but it's an anti-establishment election, guys. And
they thought that they were going to run a train over Obama.
They would probably want to run a train on him too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, and we will be back at you guys when there's something else to report. There should be some acceptance speeches coming pretty quick, so as soon as those happen, we'll let you know how that goes. Or if anything major changes.
Okay. Well, I'll stay on since I just sent a message that...
That we're on.
That we're on.
If you see anybody get on, just let me know.
If you see something, say something.
That's right.
So one thing... that I was going to point out earlier is why the Clinton people may have felt like they may have done better than the polls indicated in terms of how they did in 2008 and why that doesn't really work this time around in New Hampshire. And one of that reasons is obviously geographical, because, you know, Bernie is right next door. So, and the New Hampshireites will tell you when they're being polled, they don't care about that. It has nothing to do with him living right next door, but it does in the fact that they know who he is. Remember, he's a known quantity here. And this is why, at least to date, why Hillary is still holding on to that southern firewall of hers to a certain extent, because Bernie in the South, and especially to southern African American Democratic voters, is an unknown quantity. But, you know, they're running out of that. He's getting more and more known, and there's a lot of momentum, and people are starting to take him seriously. And he's showing up on Saturday Night Live. That counts, believe it or not. It shows like, okay, this is a legitimate candidate now, a person who might actually be president. And it's these subconscious kind of things start working their way into people's minds, where you start to take a candidate more seriously. And I think the Clinton campaign has to be tearing their hair out right now. And I've been very, very worried about this for them, that they were going to fall into a lot of the same traps they fell into in 2008 when things started to unravel for them. And tonight they may be on the cusp, to be honest. And let's see which direction they go. I think Bill wants to go in a direction of getting really, really negative. And that's not going to work. It's a different era, and I don't know if he's in touch with that. I don't know if she's in touch with that. I don't know if her advisors are in touch with that. If they go really, really, really negative and go after Bernie for being a socialist, or even just going negative, period, like they don't seem to realize that to try to get back hold and surpass Bernie, you got to make people really like Hillary more. You know, and it can't just be I'm more electable. It's like you have to like me and be inspired by me more. And that's not the message. The message is, you know, this guy's a socialist, or on some things like guns, he's not as liberal as I am, or, you know, what have you. It's all kind of negative in that direction. It's got to be more positive. It's got to be more excitement. It's got to be more about a movement. And she does that in fits and starts, but it's been a constant hum from Sanders and his campaign, and that's what has people buzzing. If they turn around from this and start to panic and just go super, super negative, it's the death spiral all over again. It's 2008, and it's going to fall apart, and that's it. And it's sad in a way. I'm a Bernie supporter, but I feel bad for the Clinton campaign and for Hillary if she steps into this trap again, which they're hovering right over it, and they feel – it feels like they're on the cusp of doing that, and they can't do that. And we'll see if they figure that out. We'll know in the next couple days. We'll see how they react. If the reaction is just super, super throw in shade, as the kids say, at Bernie, then she's in real trouble, because all that's gonna do is to the people that are already lined up behind him, and a lot of them are lined up behind him firmly. The only thing that's gonna do is lock him in more and lock her out. She's gotta, you know, and it's getting late in the game. She's gotta sell herself as being more not just likable in a sense of the very vague term they throw out of likability, like inspiring, excited. You got to get people excited about coming to vote for you. And right now she's lacking as far as that goes. So we'll see what happens here. She's going to come out, looks like, talk to some supporters soon. She'll obviously put the best spin and the best face on it. But it's a big night for Bernie. It's a huge night for Trump. And I'm excited to hear what Trump has to say. Right now, if these numbers hold up, it's a disastrous, cataclysmically disastrous night potentially for Marco Rubio, who's right now staring at fifth behind Trump, Kasich, Bush, and Cruz, and by a lot. In fact, Christie is nipping at his heels right now in the sixth spot. Rubio's drawing 10% right now, and he's been locked into that 10% for the last hour or so as the results have been trickling in. Pulling up the rear, you got Carly's pulling 4%. Not terrible, I guess, for her. And then Carson's got 2, and Rand and Huckabee. Rand is pulling in 1% just because he's got a name in New Hampshire, even though he dropped out. And no percentage points for Santorum, but apparently 44 people braved the snow to vote for Rick Santorum. All right. I'm figuring that's 44 elderly people who didn't know he dropped out. Unless you wanted to stand in the snow and vote for a guy who dropped out, who has absolutely no chance of winning. And that is your democratic right. And that's what's wonderful about democracy and the primary process. You go. You go, Santorum supporters. There's 44 of them. 44. That were willing to come out for Rick tonight. That says something. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to take a break now too, and we'll be back in just a little bit. This is live streaming coverage of Irreverent Testimony, and we'll see you in just a bit.
Pretty much determined is Donald Trump, first place in New Hampshire, followed by John Kasich at 16%, and then Ted Cruz, and then Marco Rubio. And then on the other side, obviously, Bernie was first and Clinton was second. So among the victory speeches and or concession speeches tonight, Hillary Clinton was first. Mm-hmm. She came out and said, basically, commended the Bernie Sanders campaign, and then gave a pretty standard stump speech. Said they didn't expect to win in New Hampshire, but that, you know, they were really grateful for everyone's support that they got, and that they would work hard to make up lost ground with voters that they didn't get, particularly young people, and then hit on the basic Clinton.
Yeah, it was a good speech.
It was.
She was able to gin up, you know, some energy, and it was believable, and mm-hmm. You know, she did her best, and what we talked about before in the last segment was she going to where is she going to go from here message wise? Is it going to be just negative, and is she going to just go after Sanders and attack him, which would be a death spiral? Yeah. Or is she going to, you know, finally try to say, hey, okay, you like this guy, I'm even better. She's got to make them like and be inspired by her.
Yeah.
And so that was the tone, at least, of the speech. Now, whether that happens or she turns around tomorrow and just starts trashing him and being real divisive and nasty, you know, we'll see. Is it sound a little hypocritical since there's some divisiveness maybe coming from the Sanders campaign? Well, he's got the momentum right now.
Yeah.
And she's the one on the defensive.
Right. She did have a good line in her speech about how Citizens United, which is the Supreme Court case that allowed for basically unlimited campaign contributions in politics, that case was originally inspired by an ad and money poured in against her. And that's true. And she said, so given that Citizens United comes from an attack on me, you're not going to find anyone more against it and for campaign finance reform than I am.
Yeah, I don't know what she was saving that for. That should have come out in like the first debate.
Yeah.
When, you know, Bernie was talking about how much he hates Citizens United.
Yep.
She should have said, nobody hates it more than me. It was caused because of me, people going after me.
Yeah.
Maybe when we fact check that, it's specious, but I do think that's correct.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Remember that was like a movie almost, like a quite extensive video about her that was not true.
And, right, and it was going to be aired, and then ABC pulled the plug, and then it was aired on Fox.
She had like a gag order
something.
On it. Yeah, there was a whole thing, and it ended up going before the Supreme Court.
And the Supreme Court said, it's free speech.
Yeah, money is speech.
Money is speech.
So that sucked. But her speech was good. I don't know.
Yeah, it was good. And then anything else to add about her speech before we move on?
Not really.
And then she talked a lot about Flint, you know.
Yep.
She went there 2 days ago, and
this weekend,
you know, she's obviously trying to hold her her firewall of African American voters, but I have a theory about that it's tenuous. I think the African American voters support her because they know her, not necessarily because they heart her like they heart Obama, or that they could heart Bernie.
Right.
If they got to know him,
yep.
And they're gonna start getting to know him very well. He's gonna be on the ground in South Carolina starting, I guess not the next 2 days because he's gonna be in New York, but starting, because the South Carolina primaries went on the 23rd. You have a little map.
So I have a little list here of the next coming debates.
Yeah, they're
not debates. I'm sorry, primaries and caucuses.
Mm-hmm.
So the next two are South Carolina and Nevada, but they split them up kind of interestingly. So. One party goes first in South Carolina, and the other goes first in Nevada. And I'm just trying to pull it up here really quick. So why don't you talk about the next...
So next was Bernie. Bernie came out for his victory speech. It was a raucous crowd.
Yes.
He was fired up. He made himself hoarse a few times and coughed a little bit. And he went on and on and on.
Full stump speech.
And on. Full, longer than Marco Rubio's in Iowa. I mean, it was the full-on stump speech.
Yeah.
Which, that's fine. I mean, that was his chance to introduce. I think a lot there were – it was smart because I think there were a lot of people tuning in, like just tuned in tonight. What's going on? Okay, ooh, the Sanders guy won big. And, he's coming on. Let's hear what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so some new people got a chance to hear his whole stump speech. So it's smart. For us who have seen a stump speech 50 times, it was like, okay, Bernie, wrap it up. But, you know, then thinking about it now, it's like, okay, I understand why he did that.
Yeah.
The same reason why Rubio did that in Iowa.
Yep.
So
February 20th is the Democratic caucus in Nevada. On that same day is the Republican primary in South Carolina.
Mm.
So basically
10 days.
The Republicans will know who they're going against in Nevada, and the Democrats will know who they're up against in South Carolina, sort of how the winds are shifting between the parties. Then the 23rd, the Republicans will caucus in Nevada.
It's a quick turnaround.
And the 27th, the Democrats will primary in South Carolina. So now, those are the next
This becomes interesting strategic-wise, because the last I looked, the polls are starting to get pretty tight in Nevada. Hillary, I think, still has a lead there. But he's got a huge deficit in South Carolina. So yes. Does he just kind of forego South Carolina and spend more time in Nevada and try to really get the momentum going? I don't think he can ignore South Carolina, though, because he's got to make inroads in all those other southern states where she's leading.
Exactly.
Like North Carolina and Georgia and Alabama.
And I think if he quits and then she wins the next primary, then it's like she won, he won, she won, and then it's a couple days till the next one. And I don't know. I think it's not smart. I think he should do his very best to
he won, she won is a win for him. She's got to slam the door shut in the South. Yes. So, and Nevada becomes very, very huge. Again, I don't remember the last polling I looked at, Hillary was on top, but not by much. And with the momentum coming out here, it wouldn't surprise me to see some polls coming out that show even up or maybe him leading. But I haven't looked at Nevada polling in a while. Nevada's kind of a weird place. Not too many young people.
Right.
There's a lot of people of color, an increasing number of people of color, a lot of Hispanics. Hillary's been doing really well with them.
Yes.
But again, it's not because those people dislike Bernie. They just don't know him.
Right. It's also really big. Unions are really big in Nevada.
Unions are really
big.
Casinos.
So that's a really big for
and
the Democrats.
That's been
especially.
Weird. Hillary has gotten some union support and Bernie's gotten some union support.
Yes.
I think the unions out there are supporting Hillary. I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Well, and that may change, but
that,
I don't know.
That could change. Yeah. It usually doesn't, but
I feel like Trump, Dana and I were discussing this earlier, I feel like Trump will do well in Nevada. He's well known. He's got a bunch of hotels out there. That's true, but the big business people out there, I think, although he's self-financing, so I guess it matters a little less, but I think he'll do okay. So Rubio finishing fifth. Right?
That's what it looks like. So 65% are in, and the numbers really aren't shifting much. He's trailing Bush by, I think, somewhere between 1,000 to 1,500 votes, and he's not making up ground. He seems to be losing ground. So a fifth-place finish for him is a disaster because there were a lot of polls showing him second.
Yes.
Second or third.
That's what he was hoping for. So that's still like, there's Trump, and then there's me. There's Trump, and then there's me.
Yeah.
And it's, four people above me.
And the idea was, great. He has that strong third that surprised everybody behind Cruz. Then he comes in second here. Then maybe the establishment can really coalesce around him. Well, now that plan is effed. It's out the window.
Yes.
Now Kasich is going to try to claim that mantle, but I don't think it goes any further than here. Kasich basically gave a victory speech tonight and basically said he won the presidency. I just watched it.
Yeah.
Although it was, again, this let's be positive, let's not be divisive and gross like Trump, but still, step all over women's rights. And he kept on saying, government's the last resort, government isn't the solution, but elect me as head of the government.
Yeah.
Which I love that Republican argument.
Old
Ronald Reagan line. Government is not the solution, it's the problem, so have me lead this horrible, useless institution, please.
Yep.
Okay.
Rubio came out and said, look, I did really shitty in the debates.
And it's all my bad.
And it's my bad, and like, it won't happen again, and I promise to not be robo-Rubio, and...
You don't say that. And I'm not running Rubio's campaign. I could give a crap, obviously, but you don't, in my estimation, you don't come out and say, I effed up. You just play it off and be like, we're going to go get him next time. You don't be like...
I don't know. I think
cause now you're
smart.
Because
it tamps down debate expectations for next time, and it also makes him seem like, look, because he was so bad, it was so bad, and then he did so much worse here, that I think he has to address it, and he has to say, like, okay,
had
a bad night, I understand, I'm not really that guy,
Okay, but if you're a Rubio supporter, is that what you want to hear?
Yeah. I don't want to hear... No, that's how I debate. That's what I do. That's
no, no, you don't. But you don't even acknowledge it. You just say we're going to come back stronger.
But then, how do you say I got fifth place instead of second?
You get to that on the Sunday talk shows, or when he talks to Fox and Friends tomorrow, or whatever.
I think it comes.
I don't think you go to
like,
your campaign rally and say, I effed up. My bad, guys. I mean, that's basically admitting that you suck.
That I sucked that night. but I won't anymore. And I recognize that it was bad, and I'm going to do better. I think it. I mean, I think it could. Maybe you might be right. I don't think it was a bad move, personally. I think that.
Does that mean he's suddenly going to learn to debate or handle, you know, being ambushed by a friendly gay bear at a diner?
Right. I mean, no, he won't. But he's now tamped down expectations that he knows how to do any of that. He said,
tamping down expectations when you just finished fifth means what? That maybe I'll finish fifth again next time. I mean, here's the thing. That's a hell of a pivot, right? Because his third place finish in Iowa, he grabbed the microphone as soon as those results were in and said, I'm the front runner.
Yes.
And the media bought it.
Yes.
They said, he's the front runner.
And even you were saying earlier, everyone else was covering all the other acceptance speeches and sort of concession speeches by the top two or three, and Fox News was covering Marco Rubio.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I think they were cutting away between Kasich and Rubio.
Yeah.
Or they interrupted Kasich to go to Rubio.
Yeah. And Rubio was fifth and Kasich was second.
Yeah, and again, what happens now with the Fox-Trump wars? Do they give in and say he's the leader, maybe, and do they start to coalesce behind him? And
No,
they're still going to fight him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Trump...
With who? Who's going to be their standard bearer now?
Whoever wins the next couple. I don't know.
You think they'll actually wait?
Yeah.
That's not Fox News' style.
Like, yeah, but...
They never like to pretend they're not in control or waiting to see anything.
They're not going
to
go Trump. They're not. Okay. They hate him. They hate him, and they know he can't win a general. He can't win a general. So if they want to hand it to us...
Oh, I think they'd be deluded enough to think he could win a general. I think they just worried that he would do so much damage down ballot, it would be horrible. Whereas if it was a Rubio...
There's no way Fox News thinks that Donald Trump's going to win a general election.
Fox News refused to concede that Romney lost when their own...
Romney could win.
When their own
numbers.
There's
no way Fox News thinks Donald Trump is going to win a general election. They just don't. They might say whatever they want to say, but these people are professionals. There's no way.
And they just can't stomach like another term without a president in the White House. I mean, it's great for their ratings when it's a boogeyman like an Obama or
but
like Clinton
or Sanders
to hate on.
But for those of them with sincerely held beliefs about the country and their party.
Like Roger Ailes, maybe?
It's got to be really hard, especially when you got a black dude and then either a socialist or a woman. I mean, literally, please don't be Trump or they're going to lose again, and they know it. So,
well, they're going to lose again.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
I hope.
Santorum
hit the century mark. Ladies and gentlemen.
100 people wasted their vote
on Rick Santorum, even though he dropped out of the race. And he's more known as a disgusting, frothy, what was it?
The frothy mix of... lube and fecal matter that is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex, as coined by Dan Savage.
Right.
Dan Savage.
Even though he's better known for that, and he dropped out of the race, 100 people braved the snow of New Hampshire to go and pull that lever for Rick Santorum in the great state of New Hampshire. So,
who knows? I mean, if you're a Santorum voter, I don't know how to talk to you. So, Trump's speech, whole lot of nothing. Just
he got on a roll at the end, but the first 10 minutes he was obviously just off the cuff.
Yeah, so it was thanking people and talking about his wife,
grabbing
and his
some
kids
old dude
and,
off the
yeah,
it's a veteran,
Al the veteran. He's like, Al, we love you, Al. If you can get up here, do. And then Al like suddenly appears, this veteran, and he's like right in frame behind Donald Trump, like no one else. It's just him and Al. Al looking very uncomfortable, and then Al's like talking to people behind him, and you're like, Al. Buddy. Just mostly everyone sucks. We're going to make it great. We're going to do things, and they're going to be important.
He talked about Bernie.
Things. Yeah.
He tried to congratulate Bernie, and people booed, and then he said he wants to give the country away.
Yes, and we were laughing. We were like, well, Bernie wants to take it away from people like Donald Trump and give it to you. You know, boo that, I guess. Let Donald Trump and his ilk keep everything. I don't understand these people.
And then people like my dad, who for some reason identify with people like Trump, even though he's never had nearly that much money,
never will,
even in his dreams, are going to say, Sanders is going to come take all my wealth away.
What wealth again? You got billions? I mean, none of us do, right? 1% have money.
My dad, even at 70, he's chasing that millionaire dream, that American dream that you have to be a millionaire or a...
Yep. So is my older
CEO
brother.
Or...
Afraid of somebody like Bernie because maybe one day he'll be a billionaire. Maybe he will, and I hope that he is. But Josh, if you're listening and you are, you should part with some of that money for people like you now.
Yeah, so if you do become a billionaire, you'll be taxed a little higher.
Yeah, but you'll still be a billionaire, don't worry. We're not going to take it all.
Yeah, we're not going to take every penny of it.
Yeah, so Bernie, yeah, his speech was phenomenal, as always. Long, but really impassioned, and the crowd just, you know, went apeshit. I would like to point out, Bernie Sanders brought up reproductive rights. Specifically,
yes,
pointed them out during his speech. It was a one line, but for fuck's sake, somebody said it.
We've been kvetching about it nonstop.
Cannot stop bitching about it. We'll
bring it up. Debate moderators, it's poison. They don't
making me crazy.
They bring it up on the other side, but Democrats know. And
only once now.
Hillary in her speech didn't mention it.
Women's rights, equal pay, those things are
important.
And
Bernie said very succinctly, a woman must have control of her own body, something like that.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. So sorry, Rick Santorum. Mike Huckabee has 143 votes.
Ooh, so that's 243 people who voted for nothing.
They voted for something. Well, more people than that voted for Carson, who's evidently still running.
Yeah. Fiorina did better than Carson.
Okay, so what are these asterisks for next to Rubio and Christie?
Not leading...
The way America wants. We can't see because of the captions.
We can't see. We have captions on, so we can tell.
Well, it's like we know they're not leading. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
I think it means like not leading in any of these counties.
Okay.
Yeah. So Marco, neither. I mean, Chris Christie is not surprising, but Golden Boy Rubio did not carry any single county in New Hampshire. Not one. Trump took most of them. And Bush took one,
Kasich took
a couple.
Like 10 or so.
Yeah.
And then Bush took maybe like two.
Two.
So, interesting. The speeches were all, like I said, pretty average. Other than Bernie's. Trump's was just dumb. And then Cruz's just...
We didn't see the Cruz speech,
yeah,
did we?
I was reading the subtitles of it. It was just very... South Carolina, he said something like, these Washington liberals, once they get to South Carolina, might not find it to be very hospitable.
So was he insulting New Hampshire?
Yes, and also
they're not Washington liberals in New Hampshire.
Where they're like, here in
New York
South
values.
Carolina, they don't like your New York values, that sort of thing. He really is trying to
So he was trying to say, I lost up here because it's the Northeast and it's too close a proximity to all those Jews and fags.
Exactly right, yeah, exactly correct. He loves us. He's doubling down on the country bumpkin.
Vote for me because I hate them.
Because I hate
them, New York sissies.
Yep. Yep. So it'll be interesting. What else?
Okay, so we got Nevada coming up in 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not on a Friday?
Oh, February 20th, so.
I think
Friday. Let me just take a
Friday
look here.
I will not be in love if it's on Friday.
Aw. Democratic caucus and Republican primary, Nevada and South Carolina respectively, will be on...
Drum roll.
Saturday.
Saturday?
Saturday, February 20th.
Son of a...
I wish we did more elections on Saturdays so people don't have to work.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe we'll have higher turnout.
So I don't know if we'll be live streaming. I don't even know if anybody's watching or has watched.
Me either.
But we're talking about
I know you guys like our podcast. We just thought we'd try it out. Okay. What else? Anything?
Plenty.
Cruz, Bush, and Rubio, they're still not going to determine who has gotten...
No, but Rubio ain't catching third, that's for sure, I would think at this point. So let's talk about where these campaigns go now. Both Sanders and the Democratic side, both Sanders and Clinton are going to make very hard lobbying pushes for the African-American votes.
Yes.
And the Hispanic vote, because Nevada, in the next couple days.
Yep.
Bernie said he's going to New York for 2 days, but he didn't say what he's doing.
Yeah, there was an interesting line in his speech. He said, I'm going to New York for the next 2 days, but I'm not going to New York for a Wall Street fundraiser.
What is he going for?
He didn't say, but then he said, I'm going to do my fundraiser right here, right now.
Sure. Okay.
And I'm going to ask all of you to go to BernieSanders.com and pitch what you can. And then he's like, done. That's my fundraiser. And I thought that was cute. It's a good line.
Yeah, but okay, so he's going to New York for some reason. Hillary is going...
She's not
going to
win in New York against Hillary Clinton.
Oh, no. She's leading big. But...
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I'm getting a real cold.
Yeah, she's leading big in New York, but I don't know when the New York primary is.
That's so much later. That's what we were talking about earlier. The fact that California and New York are both so late in the debate schedule, but they have the most delegates is absurd. Mm-hmm. Something that I know Nancy Pelosi tried to stop back in the 80s when she first was sort of involved. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense to have Iowa and New Hampshire first to have that sort of influence.
No,
when
but they
hold a total of like 60 delegates.
They're
out
just going to make sure that they are first because
that's the only way they have relevancy.
Yeah,
at all. Otherwise, no one would care. Sorry, people in Iowa and New Hampshire, but it's true, and you know it.
Yeah, yeah, and like, why should they get to determine the narrative for the rest of the month into Super Tuesday, basically?
Yeah, exactly.
Although they won't, because once we if things shake up and are different. Like, let's say we go to Nevada and Hillary Clinton wins and then she's leading South Carolina, then everybody forgets about everything that happened and that's not out of the realm of possibility that could happen. It's like there's a...
Well, she wins in South Carolina and Nevada. Boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. Then Bernie's got a problem. The feeling right now is that the Clinton campaign is imploding and unraveling. That's up to them. Whether it's unraveling. Agreed. And the last couple days you got the sense of the things they were saying, like the things Bill was saying and the things like some campaign operatives were leaking to the press. You're like, oh boy, here we go again. Mm-hmm. They're going to jump into the death spiral. And I got the sense, and I hope this is true for their sake, I got the sense that Hillary kind of grabbed the reins and said, no, we're not going to go that direction because that is a death spiral.
Yeah.
That's the sense I got from the tone of her speech tonight, that's not what's going to happen, but we'll know in the next couple days. If they're on the circuit tomorrow yelling about Bernie being a socialist, then they're in trouble.
Yeah.
They got to be out there saying, this is why you need to vote for me, guys.
Remember what I've done. Remember my accomplishments, you know.
Well, even more than that, I thought her speech tonight was just taking a lot of Bernie talking points.
Yeah.
She talked about the 1%.
She's been doing that for weeks.
She has, but it was much more like concise.
Yeah.
Like doing it the way he's been doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of it. You can't just parrot him alone.
No, and she doesn't have the passion behind it that he does either.
No.
It's obvious when he talks about it that he knows exactly what he means and why he's saying it.
Right. And people who've been following Bernie for years are like, yeah, this has been his this has been his speech for decades.
Yeah. Like, and I think what Dana and I were talking about earlier was that, you know, in the Northeast, it's going to be really interesting because Hillary Clinton is from New York, was a senator of New York.
She's not. Well, yeah, she's originally from New York, then went down south, then came back. Yeah.
Arkansas, yeah, with Bill. So she's got some good East Coast support, but Bernie Sanders has been a senator in the Northeast for 25 years. So people down there, he doesn't have the image problem that he has at other places in the country. People know who he is. People know. They know he's that weird independent socialist guy from Vermont who's always yelling.
Breaking news.
What?
You missed it.
What?
Chris Christie is heading back to New Jersey to reevaluate his campaign.
So Christie's done.
He's toast.
Okay. Christie's done.
He's going Breaking back news. To lawyer up and make sure that he can
he
handle
go
Bridgegate.
To prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, I think it'll be interesting on the Northeast, given that Bernie Sanders has name recognition. People know what he stands for. They know who he is. But they also know Clinton, and they've worked with her, and she's a senator there, and she's got close ties to Washington. So I think it'll be interesting to see how the voters in the Northeast react and how they vote. What do you think?
I think they're going to vote the way that other people have been voting so far, and this is another big problem for Hillary Clinton. I think in the last couple of weeks there's been this talk, and I've heard it in the media, and I've heard it from people – like the Debbie Wasserman Schultz ilk, like Bernie Sanders is not even a Democrat.
Mm.
You got to vote. You got to be loyal to the party. And
nobody
and
feels 23
that way. Year olds.
Nobody cares.
Could give a rat's ass.
No, I vote Democrat because I'm not going to vote Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, the Democratic Party is not liberal enough for me. It never has been. But it's
now
certainly
they're
more
trying
liberal
to be that
than
way.
The Republican Party.
Well, now they're trying to rebrand themselves, or at least Hillary is on their behalf.
Yes, because of Bernie.
Right. And and there is a power shift much – you know, this was happening in the Republican Party, and I think it took the Democratic Party by storm they sat back and said, wow, that party is going through some radical changes right now. It's at least we're not. We have our standard bearer. She's way ahead in the polls. This is good for us. And then another upstart anti-establishment guy comes in and has turned everything on its head. And all of a sudden, no, we're super progressive, guys. We can call ourselves liberal and we can call ourselves progressive and shit, we can call ourselves socialist. Like, this is like brand new ground in the last few weeks, ripping away what's been going on the last 20 years. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Bill Clinton campaign.
Yeah.
And there were glimpses of progressiveness here and there, and certainly way more than compared to the other side. But
he still did welfare reform. He still voted against gays. And
campaigned on that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of progressives were just like, okay, he probably doesn't mean it, but at least it's not the other side. And
I feel that way about this too. I feel like Bernie Sanders has said and gotten momentum and support for something that probably most Democrats have supported for most of their lives, but haven't been able to say out loud and feel like they could win.
Right.
So it's a good shift.
And this was even happening in 2014 in the midterm elections, where they tried to find some middle ground that was long gone.
Yes.
And the Republicans had gone way to the right.
Yep.
And then progressive people or people of color or immigrants were just like, there's nothing here for me. I'm staying home. And guess what? We get people like Joanne Winholtz in
office. Exactly right. Exactly right. So I think it's a really important and good change. And I think it's one that should stick around. And I think if he can get that, Bernie can get that groundswell of support of people to come out and support him throughout the South and then throughout the Midwest.
Well, that's if. I mean, we need we always talk about our dads. If it is Bernie, and look, I'm not jumping the gun here. Hillary's still leading in the national polls, and she's still leading in places like Nevada and South Carolina.
Yeah.
You won't know until we wake up and look in the next few days and see where the polls are heading and see what the campaigns do. If this momentum is real enough to carry past New Hampshire, we knew Bernie was going to win big in New Hampshire.
Yeah, we knew. This is not a surprising thing. This is not a shocking, he swept something that wasn't supposed to happen thing.
And
that's
the
not
sense
is,
overall, he's on the ascent while she's on the decline. But we don't know that for certain. But if it is happening this way and it is going to be Bernie, if you're taking over, that's where we're going to flip the script. And instead of saying, okay, you kids better get on board with the Hillary thing, it's like, mom, you better get on board with the Bernie thing. Right. And she will. Like, if we're talking literally my mom, she would. But like all the other moms out there who Pumas.
Are the young kids a dependable enough voting block so that we don't just get fucking slaughtered?
They were
November.
In 2008.
Yeah, but
we cleaned up. It was a huge wave election.
I remember.
And unfortunately, it was shitty timing with the economy collapsing. And that cascade was already in effect. By the time we get to 2010, it hadn't turned around enough. And, you know, that combined with the rise of the Tea Party did us in. And all those people that were energetic and excited and voted for Obama, you know, they were all still in the shit of where the economy was going. That had nothing to do with being Obama's fault.
Yeah.
And it was just unfortunate timing. Now that we're in an upward trajectory overall, and yes, there's still tons of problems. Not like Donald Trump said that like the real unemployment rate is really 45%.
He did say that.
But that, you know, things are much better than they were, and the stock market isn't in free fall, and things aren't turning to total shit, and hopefully there's not going to be a huge housing bust tomorrow and whatever. You know, I think that we can hopefully get a wave election and then build on that at the 2-year midterm. You know, it was just unfortunate timing where we got that huge wave election in 2008, but the economy was already heading downward, and Obama, first day of office, couldn't, you know, turn that right around.
Yeah.
It took years, and he did, and he did.
He did.
He turned it around with the help of stimulus and a bunch of other stuff.
Just you people, young people, please, you have to vote in November. I don't really care if you vote in the primaries. I'd like it if you did, please, but
you got to vote down ballot. You got to vote locally, states, senators,
to,
Congress.
Otherwise, it's Trump or it's Cruz or it's one
of
these
they'll
crazy
show up,
people.
They'll show up to vote for Bernie. They'll show up to vote for Bernie if he's the nominee.
You better.
But they need to stick around and vote down ballot.
Yeah. And then vote in 2 years.
Well, that's just it. I think they would be more likely to vote in 2 years if some progress is made or – and this is where I criticize Obama a little bit. Obama was never forceful enough, and he still isn't, about all the obstruction he got to what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
But he was very, very busy those first 2 years getting the ACA passed, and he did, but it was so horribly divisive that all the energy was on the other side.
Yeah, he lost all of his political capital getting that one bill passed.
And thank God he got it. And he knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it was
that was his mandate.
And thanks to that, I have health insurance now, so thank you. Even though Trump just came up and told me what a horrible disaster it was and how my life is miserable and I don't have any health insurance. Actually, I do, Trump. Yeah. You're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
so
wrong.
I don't know. I worry.
I think we were about going to wrap it up. I think we've said all that is to be said about the New Hampshire primary. So as far as the polls go, no real surprises. I think Bernie is going to win by more than I thought he was going to. Yeah. I thought this thing would tighten to 10 to 15%.
He's at
over 20 and that's going to hold. So that's a big, big win.
Yeah, it is.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge. Yeah, it's
so
huge.
It's the ball's in Clinton's court right now. How does she handle this? You know? Does she make all the same mistakes that she made in 2008, which her husband probably doesn't see as mistakes, think that they didn't go after Obama aggressively enough? You know, who's going to listen to who here? I think she's going to take the reins, and hopefully her smarter advisors are going to take the reins, and she is going to try to go with the more positive route. And that's the only way she can
win. I agree.
Because
if she goes negative and she somehow squeaks out a victory, she just lost all the young people. They're not going to vote for her unless she doesn't appear to be attacking their homeboy.
Yeah. I mean, the stakes have really been raised here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this would have been simple if Hillary had won Iowa handily and had a good showing in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. But this is a nightmare for her.
Yeah.
This is her worst nightmare. And,
losing Iowa
would have been worse, but
yeah.
In terms of tonight, right now, she might as well have because nobody even cares about that now, because even the
but
media is now calling it a tie.
But when she blows South Carolina away, then is anybody going to care about New Hampshire?
It depends on Nevada too.
Yeah. They're within just a couple days. So anyway, that's what we're looking at, and we will, do a couple podcasts probably this week.
We will.
About
it's
politics
just
of the day and the polls and stuff.
It's just interesting, too, that the media, after Iowa, and they forgot how weird Iowa was, they really started talking like, if Trump loses New Hampshire, and it could happen, and I'm thinking like,
no, it can't.
I don't think so.
Unless
like,
the polls
he's way ahead in the polls, and that's
really
a primary.
Mm-hmm.
Caucuses are weird. Caucuses are goofy.
Yep.
You need not just a ground game. You need really educated people that know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then that combined with Carson's weird thing and Cruz's dirty tricks, it's like, wasn't that huge a shock that those results didn't hold up in Iowa? But all the pundits, oh, when Trump loses New Hampshire, it's all going to unravel. It's like, I don't think he's going to lose New Hampshire, guys. And now it's all Trump all the time.
Again.
Again.
Yep. Rubio, I mean, he's really got to do something in the next, before
I don't know.
Nevada.
See, I think he's in huge trouble.
Yeah, me too.
I think the surprise result in Iowa, combined with timing that speech perfectly, and the desperate desire of the establishment and Fox News to try to find an alternative to Trump, was an artificial bubble that, you know.
And then his disastrous debate performance.
Yeah.
And then this. Yeah, he's in trouble.
He's in trouble. I mean, because it wasn't like there was this groundswell of support. He was hot for a minute.
Mm-hmm. And we get... No.
There's a developing
really
love story here. I'll have to show you between a cat and a dog.
There's Lily and there's Blixa.
Yeah, and they're almost holding hands. They keep creeping closer.
They're almost in love.
They keep creeping closer together. Lily?
That's my cat and Trav's dog. And they are becoming fast friends. Aww.
Hi, Blix. Hi, Lily. Okay. Anyway. So, that's going to be about it. Sorry, Rach. It's an amateur operation here. It's going to be about it for us. We're signing off now.
Yes.
This has been Irreverent Testimony, the live stream. As usual, stay active and stay tuned and stay involved in all this stuff. I'm Travis.
I'm Rachel.
Dana's in the other room, and that was Lily and Blixa on camera.
Bye.
Adios. So long. I'm a
your name? Did you lose it on the wall playing tic-tac-toe? Yo, check the diagonal. Three brothers gone, come on. Doesn't it make it three in a row?
Anger is a gift.